The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We are entering into that time of the year where many of us, if not maybe all of us, are getting what we would call feast fever. Rightly so, because we certainly understand the fall holiday seasons are right around the corner, as it were, and we thank God that He has commanded these. We thank God that He's given us the understanding that there are these seven annual festivals, and we understand that we go away by definition. We go away, at least on the three seasons. I'm not focusing on that part in the sermon today. We're going to focus on another aspect, but we understand that. And of course, because of the time of year, one of the things that we certainly do think about a lot is the fact that we do travel away, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day and those kinds of things, and temporary dwellings, and we go to the place where, as we would understand, God has placed His name. We also understand that as members of the Church of God, we certainly can incur some expenses to do what it is that God has commanded. But because of God's wisdom and God's mercy toward all of us, we also understand that God blesses us and He has provided a way for us to be able to obey Him and what it is that He is requiring us. He provides for our financial needs at the festivals by having us set aside a tenth of our increase of the income that we have year by year so that we can and so that we will enjoy and we will celebrate the feast with abundance with our families. This monies that He has us set aside, of course, we simply refer to it as second tithe. The term is actually not found in the Scriptures. The term second tithe is not there. At the best that we can have is, it says, the additional tithe. The Hebrew phrase, which is, you know, we don't necessarily speak Hebrew, but the term itself is mahashian, and it simply means the additional tithe. Now, we, for convenience over the years, have referred to it as second tithe. And so throughout this sermon, I'm going to refer to it as the second tithe. And we save this year by year, and we also understand that it is an additional tithe of our income. Because we also have, if you've got a second, then you've also got to have a first. And unlike the use of the first tithe, God designates, God speaks about the second tithe, this tenth, which is what the word literally means. It's an Old English word that means tenth. I guess in more of a technical sense, it means a tenth part. So a tithe is a tenth of whatever it is that we're talking about. And in this case, we're talking about money. And so God has set this aside for us to use during these festivals that He has commanded so that we can properly observe them. This sermon today, we are going to talk about this second tithe. One of the ways I want to do this at the beginning here is I'd like for us to ask a few questions and then try to answer these questions. So one of the questions that I have is there biblical proof for a second tithe? Now, the reason I ask the question like that is because there are some who are saying there isn't any. Well, I flat out disagree with that. Yes, there is biblical proof that there is an additional tithe or there is second tithe, and it is to be kept. With that in mind, I'd like for us to go to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I'm going to read several verses, and we're going to read a couple of different places here. I want to start in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12. If you have a marker, you may want to put a mark there, because we will come back to it a little bit again to reread some of these verses. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation, shall you seek, and there you shall come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes." Note the word is plural, tithes. and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Now, we don't take our livestock to the feast with us. There is also a scripture that says, and if the place is too far, then you convert this into money, and you take the money with you. It's simpler for us today to simply do that. And then you purchase when you are there, because you have these monies that have been the livestock or our jobs have produced monies in a tenth part, second tithe. We convert it and we have it in the form of the money. But that's what it says. Verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes, plural again, and the heave offerings of your hand and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. Verse 17. You may not eat within your gates the tithe, singular, of your corn or of your wine or of your oil, for the firstlings of your herds or of your flock, nor any of your vows which you vow, nor your freewill offerings or heave offerings of your hand. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy 14, beginning in verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn, of your wine, and of your oil, and of the firstlings of your herds, and of your flocks. And I know we said, well, aren't we reading this again? And the answer is yes, because God is restating so many of these things, and he's going to do this several times. And so we're going to see a lot of these same wordings multiple times, is to get the point across that we're looking. The question is, is there biblical proof for a second tithe? The answer is yes, there is. Yes, there is. That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Now, if you mark your Bible and you don't have this phrase marked, mark it. That is one of the key phrases, maybe in the entirety of the Bible, when it comes to the festivals or the holy days of God. That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Verse 24, and if the way be too long for you so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far for you, which the Lord your God shall choose to set his name there when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall turn it into money and you shall bind it up in your hand. And it comes on down and restates the same thing at the end of verse 26. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. Now, if you mark your Bible and you don't have this phrase marked, mark it. Because this also is a very important thing. We just read in these couple of verses the purpose of why we go away, why we're to do it. It says, you go there so that you can learn to fear the Lord your God always. And it says, and that you may eat before the Lord your God, and you will rejoice, you and your household. And so it's not just for one person, it's for the entirety of the family. This tithe is to be used by us, provided by God, for us, our families, to eat in the presence of God. Now, I'm not going to ask this a show of hands, but how many times do we go to, say, to the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're eating this meal, whatever it is, whatsoever your heart desires, are you eating this meal? Do you realize, do you think about it while you're eating it, that you're eating this in the presence of God? We should be. We should be thinking that, because this is what it says. And so, is there biblical proof that there is a second tithe, or an additional tithe? The answer is yes, there is. We're going to see it more and more throughout the rest of the sermon, but let's go on. The next question, how do we know that this one we've been reading about is not the first tithe? How do we know that? Well, let's go to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18, we're going to read verse 21 through 24. Numbers 18, verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Today we would simply say this could be referring to the ministry who services the church. It's not exactly what the word says, but I think we would understand it in that way, and I don't think we would really challenge it. Well, some might, but I think we would understand it. We would be in agreement with that. Verse 22, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. Now, what he's saying here is, in our day today, it would be talking about, don't start taking on responsibilities of the ministry if you're not been put in that position to have that responsibility. And that's really all that is saying. It's really straightforward. Like then, the Levites, they serve the tabernacle, they serve the church. Don't try and take more. Don't try and take on those duties that are not given to you. That's really all it is saying. It's the same thing today. The same principle is there today. Verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquities. In other words, what do they do? They do sins, they're going to bear them. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. Who are the they? The Levites. Now, we're getting to the answering the question. How do we know that this was not this tithe we were talking about in these first verses? How do we know that it's not talking about the first tithe? Verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. The children of Israel were told this, they understood this, that the Levites, they didn't have an inheritance. And so what we see is the first tithe is for the sons of Levi, or for the priesthood, or today we would simply say for the ministry. Now, I'm not trying to make that point any bigger than it is. I'm just making the statement. We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. I told you to put a marker there. Here, Moses is speaking to Israel, and it's on the east side of the Jordan River just prior to their going into the promised land. I mean, this is the setting of where this is taking place. And he told them, instead of having altars and high places throughout the country, they should bring their required and free will offerings. They should bring their other sacrifices. They should bring the firstlings, and they should bring their tithes, plural, in verses 6 and 11. Now, I could reread them, but you can see that. And they are to take it to the place where God has placed his name. The children of Israel were simply told that they were to eat before God. Remember, I told you to mark that, because that's what it is. We're to eat in the presence of God. The second tithe here in these verses that we're looking at, this tithes, plural, is in addition to the tithes commanded in Numbers 18. Now, I could go back right now and read the verses and Numbers that we read and making a comparison, seeing it like that, if you just reread those verses, it's very, very plain. And I'm going to try to explain it as simple as I can here. And if anyone later should have any questions, you know, please contact us and we'll can explain it in more detail. But it was to be eaten by the people, but it says, not at their homes, in other words, within your gates. That's what it said in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 17. This tithe was not to come out of the first tithe. Now, how would we know that? The reason we know this is because this first tithe was the Levites' inheritance. So why would you have the people give all the first tithe to the Levites and then the second tithe is to come back out of that? So that makes no sense. So it's very simple to see that there are at least, I'm going to say, two tithes here. There is a first tithe that is given to the Levite. There is a second tithe that all the people collected and they used to celebrate before God, to come to learn to fear the Lord your God always and to eat in his presence. Now, There's a lot more to learn about all of that, but that's a real simplification. The Levites lived off the first tithe in all their cities throughout the year. I think very, very clear for us to see and to us to understand, this first tithe could not have been the second tithe that God forbids all to eat in their homes. So is it the first tithe? Is it, you know, because there are some who are stating that there's not a second tithe. There's no biblical injunction to show that we should be keeping a second tithe because it's really all the first tithe. It's too contradictory to do that, to come to that conclusion. Now, are there other ways of explaining this, going into more of the technicality of the Hebrew words? The answer is yes. But I don't think we need to do that. I think we just need to look at it. One says, don't eat it in your houses. The other one, it says, it's for the Levites to use to eat in their houses year by day, you know, day by day, year by year, you know, throughout the year. One is first and one is second. So I think it's real simple. I think it's really quite straightforward. An interesting point that I really remember ever really focusing on before, I'm just making a point about it, and that is nowhere in the Scripture does it state that the Levites were to bring a special tithe to eat at the feast. What it says is the people were to bring it. And there is a distinction between the Levites and the people. It's in verse 18. It's Deuteronomy chapter 12. Remember I told you to go back there? Let's read verse 18. We didn't read that originally. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place where he shall choose, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite that is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all that you put your hands unto. Now, if we had this in the actual Hebrew, we would see that it is very clear there. It's talking to the congregation. They're to bring the food and they're to take care of their families. They're to take care of the maidservants. They're to take care of the maidservant and the maidservants. And they're to take care of the Levites. That's what it is saying. Interesting. So I'm telling you that verse 18 here specifically states that the Levites should also eat of the second tithe where the Lord chose to place his name. So again, that in itself is showing that it's not the first tithe. It is what we would call the second tithe. In chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 11, we read that earlier also, the plural usage shows that Moses distinctly refers to more than one tithe. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23, we read that also, it uses the word tithe in the singular, and the reason is because this passage describes only the specific tithe that we are to consume where God places his name. So we have a first and we have a second. And in one of the cases, it's showing us that it's plural. And then in another example, it shows a singular use of the word. And the reason is showing this tithe is eaten where God has placed his name. Another question, what is the purpose of the second tithe? Well, again, we're going to read a few passages straight and then make a few comments about it. We'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12 because that's where I've already told you to go to. And we're going to read beginning in verse 11 again. We're going to read 11 through 14. Then we're going to pick up a couple of other verses. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you shall vow unto the Lord. Verse 12. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants and the Levites that are within your gates, forasmuch as he has no place nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that you offer not your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord your God shall choose in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. Verse 17. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your corn. You don't eat it at home. Now, we've already seen that the Levites, they eat of this one tithe throughout the year at their house. This tithe says you don't eat it there. Because we've also already seen that the Levites are to be eating where God has placed his name too. And then it says here, and you shall not eat in your gates the tithe of your corn, of your wine, of your oil, of the firstlings of your herd, or of your flock, or any of the vows which you vow, nor your freewill offerings or heave offerings of your hand. Verse 18, but you must eat them before the Lord your God in the plates which the Lord your God shall choose, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite that is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God and all that you put your hands unto. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 26. And you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your hand lust after. And I remember years ago, we used to always read this, and, you know, and minister would say, well, the word really more is desire, you know, what you really desire after. If you look the word up, the word actually means lust after. It means with great compassion or great interest in. It's not talking about lust in a negative sense here, but it would be more of that way than it is. It's just whatever you desire. You know, it's more common we think about it in that way. No, it's talking about you passionately want this. Why would you be able to do this? You know, why would he even encourage us to be able to do this? Because you have a tenth of your income. And you can do things that you can't do at other times. You can eat things that you may not be able to afford at other times during the course of the year. And so it's real straightforward whenever you said, and he tells us there that we should lust after for oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink or for whatsoever your heart desires or your soul desires, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 15. We're answering the question, what is the purpose of the second tithe? Deuteronomy 16, verse 15, 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast unto the Lord your God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord your God shall bless you in all your increase and in all your works of your hands, therefore you shall surely rejoice. You want to leave a marker here in Deuteronomy because we will come back in another time. But I want to go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So the Israelites, again, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to, with all of these combination of verses, is to answer the question, what is the purpose or a purpose of the second tithe? The Israelites set aside the second tithe throughout the year, and they consumed it at the annual holy day festivals of God for whatever their heart desired. That's what it tells us. And this means that they spent the tithe on things that enhanced their glorifying of God or added joy to the feast. Now, again, I ask a question, not asking for comments, but I'm asking for a question. You know, I ask this question for us to think about. When we go, say, just simply, I'm just limiting this to the Feast of Tabernacles. We go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Do we do that? Do we think about that we're eating in the presence of God? That's yes or no. We either do or we don't. And his command says we're to do that. And the second question is, are we spending it on these things that is going to enhance our ability to glorify God and to add joy to the feast? Because that's there too. Because we are to rejoice in the presence of God, you and your household. See, here's the point. The same applies to us in the use of second tithe today. Unlike the use of the first tithe, the individual member saves the second tithe, and it is to be used in the way that God has instructed us. And it's not the income of the Levites for the year. That's first tithe. It is the for the use for you and your household and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levites to go to a place where God places his name, and they are to consume and to use this there to learn to fear the Lord your God always, and also to eat in the presence of God. And all the time is to be done in a joyful way. And so we see that, you know, it is different. So the point is, God wants his people to enjoy the physical abundance that he provides at these festivals as we are there worshiping him and learning to reverence him and to fear him in the ways that pleases him. So again, I ask this as a question. You know, when we're at the feast and we're eating, do we think about this being in the presence of God, and we're doing this to give God this good feast that he would be pleased in how we're doing this? It's something to consider. It's something for us to think about. But I also wanted to make this statement, and that is, this is not to be the issue. This eating, learning, is to be the issue. It's not about the money. The money is so that we will have, that we can learn to fear the Lord your God always and to rejoice in his presence as we're eating before him with our family around us, with the Levites around us, and those who couldn't afford it, that we can help. So because of his blessings, because of the blessings that God gives to us, many are also able to help others to be able even to attend the feast. Now, I'm gonna just make the statement. In the past several years, this has not been focused on. This has not been focused on. And sad to say, we have had widows who don't have the monies to set aside to attend the feast, have simply sat home because the monies were not there. And my point to that is, shame on us. Shame on us. We're to be taking care of those who are, in this sense, unable to take care of themselves. And I think we need to look out for others. And I think it's great that we have excess of monies and we can do all of these abundant things and do all of this stuff. But are we first taking care of those that we need to be responsible for and help taking care of? That has to come in there also. Because remember, the purpose of being there is not the money. The purpose to be there is to learn to fear God and to rejoice in his presence. Another question, is it wrong to borrow from God's tithes? That's a question that I've been asked several times. Not going to answer it the way that I normally answer it when somebody asks me. I am going to answer it by asking a question. In doing so, are we stealing from God? Now, in light of the way the sermon is going, I know you would know the answer that I would say is absolutely. Absolutely a stealing from God. Because we just looked at, what is the purpose? That's not a purpose. Using it for something else is not a purpose. And so if you're using anything that belongs to God for a purpose that it wasn't belonging, that it wasn't to be there for, what have we just done? We've stolen from God. I want us to take a look at a few verses. You don't need to turn there because it's a very short one. I'll have it done before you ever get there. But in Exodus 20, verse 15, it simply says, "You shall not steal." So I'm setting it up. I'm already telling you what it is. Is it wrong to borrow from your second tithe? It's called stealing. That's what it's called. Okay, so we just understand it right from the get-go. That's what it is. Okay, in Psalm 37 and verse 21. Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous sows mercy and gives. Now, some could say, yeah, but that doesn't say that I can't borrow from my tithes. It doesn't say you can. It tells what the heart is. When we start taking from something that doesn't belong to us, and we start using it for something else. Let me put it like this. You work for a corporation, and there's money that comes in. And you borrow from the treasury to go and do whatever it is that you want to do. What is that called? It's called embezzlement. What will the world do whenever you do that? They will lock you in jail. They will put you away. And they will label you as a thief. And the point is, rightly so. Now let's go back and think about it. Is it wrong to borrow from your second tithe? There's no such thing. It's called stealing. If you think of, just think about it. Is it wrong to borrow from your employer's checking account and use it for your own personal, you know, for something that God didn't tell you to do or the employer didn't tell you to do? Yeah, it's called stealing. It's called embezzlement. Is it wrong there? Yeah. Is it wrong with tithing? Of course it is. It's the same principle. It's the same principle. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. This is where we really get into it and we see it. Verse 7, we begin. Malachi 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now, he's talking to Israel. And I'm going to tell you, in a very strict way, he is also talking to the Levites. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. This is a they said, God said. They said, God said is what this is. You have said, God is speaking. God says to the people, return unto me. And then you said to me, the people said to God, where shall we return? And then God says, will a man rob God? And you have robbed me. You have robbed me. This is what he's saying. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And God answers it. In tithes and offerings. See, if we don't give what belongs to God, and we do anything else with it, it's called robbing God. It's not a thing of, well, it's my second tithe. No, it isn't. Tithe belongs to God. All the tithes belong to God, and then God tells what to be done with them. Even the second that you use. That's his generosity. And so he says, but what have we done? As he says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. What is the house? What is God's house? The church. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, to receive this blessing that God says, give what belongs to me, and I'll make an increase. And if you don't believe me, try it. This is, in essence, what God is saying here. You know, let's try it out and see if this is not what he's saying. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your grounds, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. You're going to be blessed. And he ties it into tithes and offerings. And certainly that would also include the second tithe. The reason is because I stated this, but I restate it here. Because tithing is given to God, it is a tenth of our income or our increase of our income, because the tithe really doesn't belong to us, but it belongs to God anyway. Borrowing of any of God's tithe is stealing from God. And that's what he says. That's what he called it. And he says there are curses for stealing from God. I'm not going to read there. I'm not going to go there and read it. But back in Genesis chapter 3, when God is dealing with Adam and Eve and the serpent after they had sinned back in the garden, God reserved one tree for himself. That's all it says. And he specifically told Adam and Eve not to eat of it. But Satan came along and convinced them that the tree was also theirs to use. So when they took of the fruit of what was forbidden to them, they were stealing. They were stealing from God, and as a result, they suffered the consequences. They were cast out, and they died as a result. We likewise also have to acknowledge that God's prior claim to the tithes that he has already stated, this is what I want to be done with it, that he requires us to give them to him and we're to use his tithes according to his specific instructions. So I go back and ask, is it okay to borrow from my tithe? No. Now that's the short answer, but I gave you a little bit longer one. So here's the point. Brethren, in God's infinite love and mercy toward us, he has given us the means that we can go before him and worship him and rejoice with people, his people, in the place where he has chosen. Now, why would anyone not want to do that? Why would anyone want to miss out on such a wonderful blessing and opportunity to be able to draw closer to God? And I can't really think of a reason other than they have their own agenda, and it's not to please God, and it's not to worship God. So I think without any doubt, I think we can clearly say that the second tithe is a blessing to God's people, and it comes from God. See, he gives us our jobs, he gives us our income, he gives us the increase, he gives us all of that. He gives us knowledge and understanding. He gives us wisdom to be able to know what to do with it. I read a definition, a short statement definition of knowledge and wisdom, and I thought it was, oh, that's pretty good. I told my wife about it, and I said, I'll use it one day soon, and here's the soon. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in the fruit salad. So there's more to just having information. There's also, what are you going to do with it? There's a right way to do with it. Here's the point about tithing, second tithe in particular. People can collect this money, second tithe, they could hold to it, and then use it for the wrong purpose. One is knowledge, and one is a lack of wisdom. We're to do it the way God instructs it. That's it. That's what it is. And he tells us to why we do it in a particular way, because when we do it the way God says do it, we're able to rejoice in his presence because we're doing the way he wants it to be done. You think God knows the best way of doing things? I think so, and I think you do too. So, again, without a doubt, we know that second tithe is a blessing for God's people, and it comes from God. Let's go to Deuteronomy now, chapter 4. Another blessing, as you're turning there, that we certainly can understand in God's love and mercy and wisdom. And he tells us to take this additional tithe and go to the place where he places his name. And I'm not getting into that principle. I'm just stating that's what it says. But in doing so, what he does is he provides for it. We set it aside. And so he's already provided for us to be able to do that. And in the doing so, he has already given us a blessing of not being fearful or concerned about our finances of living day to day when we're not there. Because he doesn't take from that. You go, well, wait a minute. If I got 100% and I give a 10% to God and I give a second 10% to go to the feast, then he has taken away from it. No, he hasn't. That's called budget. What you have here is called budgeting. Don't over budget. Don't overspend. You budget what you have here. And so you go to the feast and you've got this 10% and you're not having to concern, well, I'm spending all of this money, therefore go back home. I'm not going to have money to deal with and live day to day. Yes, you do. Because God gave the principle of how to do it. And if that's not the case, then it's simply not following God's instructions. And that's real simple to see it in that way. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. We begin, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land wherewith you go to possess it." These are instructions that Moses is giving to the children of Israel prior to their going into the promised land. The journeying is over. They're waiting to go in to the day God gives them the instruction, today's the day, cross over. Verse 6, "Keep therefore and do them. Do all these statutes and judgments, all the things that God commanded you and I've told you. Do all of those things and keep them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people, for this nation is there so great, who has a God so nigh, so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for." Isn't this what the people are going to say? And the answer is, yeah, they really will. They may not now. They may not even in this society. They may not until Jesus Christ returns and they understand the principles. But we are to look at him and say, this is an awesome God. And all that he commands us. Verse 8. "For what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all of this law which I set before you this day?" And the answer is none. None. Our God is so awesome that he provides not only a place to go that we can learn to fear him, he also provides the financial means by which to do it. And he instructs us. And it's real simple. And he tells us, this is the way I want you to do it. Don't deviate from it. If you start deviating from this, there's going to be curses. In other words, it's cause and effect. But you know, there's also positive cause and effect. If we do it exactly as he says, there's positive effects. Because what his instruction is positive. I want to basically conclude with reading from Deuteronomy 14. Once again, we read these verses later, but I pretty much want to read these verses and then make just a closing comment. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, "And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn, and of the wine, and of your oil, and of your firstlings of your flocks, and of your that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." Verse 26, and I just want to read the second part, the B part to the verse. "And you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household." So here's the point. There's a lot more information we could talk about and deal with in 2 Titus. I don't want to go any more in detail into that. I think this is a broad overview. If anyone got any questions, they can certainly ask, and we can go into more detail. But here's the point. Each one of us, we need to let ourselves and allow ourselves to be ready for these coming fall holy days so that we will learn to fear the Lord our God always and so that we will rejoice in his presence, you and your household. The Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, "On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. www.cotsg.org, or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.